Beginning, God's church has been obsessed with doing what I'm doing, with starting new churches and sending missionaries and helping the poor, and the list could go on and on of the activities that the church has done. And with these tasks has always come lots of sacrifice of time and money and resources, with many times not an awful lot of seemingly impressive results, frankly. It seems that there's an awful lot of work done, and sometimes maybe not what we expect to see or what we hope to see. And yet, the reason the church has worked so hard throughout history to do these things like plant new churches and send missionaries is ultimately for the same reason, and that is to share the gospel with as many people as possible. So why is that? Why do we do all of this work and spend all of this time and money just for the chance to share this gospel with as many people as possible? Well, to answer that question, I'm going to read just a few verses from Matthew's gospel out of chapter 9, verses 35 through 38. We read, "And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, 'The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the vineyard.'" End of reading. Short little passage today, but says a lot about why we share the gospel. And the first thing I notice in the text, the reason why we're called to share the gospel is pretty obvious, is because Jesus calls his church to do that. Listen to verses 37 and 38 again. Jesus looks over the masses of the people, the cities teeming with people, and declares, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." A little later on in the same gospel, we see Jesus do just that. Sending his apostles out to the harvest, he commands them, "Go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel and proclaim, preach as you go, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Over and over throughout the Bible, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, the call from God is for his people to go to those who are running and lost and tell them that they have news of a kingdom of refuge accessed by the work of God through Jesus Christ. So Jesus says to Peter, "Follow me." Why? Why? "Because I'm going to make you a fisher of men, Peter." Of course, you have the Great Commission passages in Matthew 28, "Go and make disciples of all nations." How? "Baptizing and teaching them everything I have commanded you." John 20, "As the Father sent me, so now I send you." Acts 1, 8 and 9, sort of Luke's Great Commission, "You shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." You can see sort of the spreading out of the kingdom. And that's exactly what we read in the New Testament actually took place. And frankly, it was amazing. The results were astounding. Within 100 years, the feared Roman Empire that seemed unstoppable had been really turned upside down. And it happened through a bunch of people sharing the gospel, sharing the message of the kingdom. As strange as it may seem, it is through the message of Christ crucified for the forgiveness of sins that people are transformed. Through hearing that message, transformation comes. So Romans 10:17 famously says, "Faith comes by hearing, and hearing of the word of Christ." Faith is produced as this message is proclaimed. So the first reason we proclaim the gospel is because Jesus has called us to. He's given us a command. But as you know, being Christ-hold-fast folks, just because God has commanded something to be done doesn't necessarily mean that we're motivated to do it. As a matter of fact, oftentimes evangelism is presented in a way that sort of tries to guilt people into doing it by saying, Jesus has told you to do it, so do it. So we have to go a little deeper. If we want to be people that would share this message, would be motivated to share this message besides simply a command. And so there is a little deeper reason in this passage we see, and that's we preach Christ because he loves the world. He loves them, those people. Hear the heart of Jesus right now. In verse 36, it's one of my favorite verses. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. He had compassion, or to define it, a sense of shared suffering with them, with the masses. Jesus puts himself in their place as lost and dying sinners, unable to see their great need for their salvation. And the way the passage here presents it is that his heart breaks as he sees them because they look to him harassed and helpless. Now, the word for harassed in Greek is literally could be translated flayed open or slashed open. And the word for helpless is cast down. It really, what he's describing is the scene after a wolf would take a sheep and just tear it to pieces. He tears open the sheep, fling it around in his mouth, and then is leaving, casting it aside. And the sheep, of course, would lie there bleeding to death. And Jesus sees the crowds in this world. He sees the world, and that's the way they look to him. But here's the thing. The sheep don't recognize it. You know, the words used to describe people in the world apart from Christ are pretty dire words. Lost, dead, enslaved, blind. But they're all words that we cannot help by ourselves. We need saving. We need someone to turn on the light. We need someone to find us. We need someone to bring resurrection. What this passage is showing us again is that the world needs to be introduced to a shepherd that can save them from being harassed and helpless by the wolves of this world. G.K. Chesterton once quipped, "Every man who knocks on the door of a brothel is looking for God." And what he means is essentially that everyone is worshiping something. Everyone is looking to something to fill this void within. And the problem with humanity is that it's the wrong thing that we're looking to. It can be anything that one worships instead of the life-giving, life-transforming, sin-forgiving God. We are natural idol worshipers, and the problem is that those idols always lead to death. As Luther said in his large catechism, I think very insightfully, quote, "A God is the term for that to which we are to look for all good and in which we are to find refuge in all need. Therefore, to have a God is nothing else than to trust and believe in that one with your whole heart. As I have often said, it is the trust and faith of the heart alone that makes both God and an idol. Anything on which your heart relies and depends, anything, can be good thing, bad thing, anything, I say that is really your God." So we preach, we share the gospel to introduce those who are lost and harassed and helpless to the good shepherd who alone can give life. So, I've given you two reasons so far. The first one is simply he commands us to. But the law doesn't inspire us to do what it says. As a matter of fact, sometimes it causes us to rebel, so we needed a deeper reason, and that is because Jesus loves the world. He loves everyone. But still, if we really want to be motivated to share the faith, because it can be so uncomfortable, and it can be so awkward, and it can make us feel unsure of ourselves when we're doing it, we really need even a deeper reason still that I think is found in this passage. And that is ultimately, we share the gospel because he loves us. We are inspired to share the gospel because he brought that gospel to us, because he showed his great love for us. It is so easy in talks about evangelism, which essentially this is, to talk about all the work that needs to be done and all the opportunity we have in the process, and in the process forget the ultimate reason for why we preach. We preach because he loves us. I can't tell you how many talks about evangelism I've sat through in which the speaker basically tries to motivate you through guilt and making you feel bad. Even going so far as to suggest that if you don't preach the gospel, that there will be people that will not be saved because you didn't do your job. I find those presentations to be highly manipulative and ultimately unbiblical. But what I do find biblical, what I do find inspired the early church to go out and share the faith with the cost of great blood and great treasure and great time, was ultimately that they saw themselves as deeply, deeply loved by the God of the universe through Christ our Lord. Never forget that every single one of us are just as much a part of that crowd Jesus looks over with compassion. Never forget that apart from his grace in your life, you are like that sheep without a shepherd, harassed and helpless. Every single Christian, no matter what our individual story, ultimately really has the same story, which is amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. That was the whole reason Jesus came, to seek and save the lost, and we were that. So the Apostle Paul says, here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. Christ came teaching and preaching and healing to save those in need of resurrection. He comes to where you and I are, dead in trespasses and sins, and he says God shows his love for you in this, that while you were yet sinners, lost, harassed, helpless sheep, Christ died for you. God loves you, and he has proven it in his Son. That fact is the overarching motivation for why we share the gospel with others. If we don't get this, if we don't own this, if we don't marinate in this, that God really loves us and was willing to show it by bleeding, then we will never have the proper motivation for sharing with others. And then, when we have that as our foundation, sharing our faith isn't a have-to that leads to anxiety and guilt, but rather it becomes a get-to that flows out of gratitude and freedom. 1 John 4 says, we love because he first loved us. Well, the same is true for sharing the faith, for preaching. We preach because he first preached to us too. He shared that life-giving message with us. It transformed us, and now he gives us the gift of being able to share that with others.